Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, everybody. This is Prophetess Crystal McQueen. Once again, welcome to Kingdom Lifestyle Broadcast. We were just having some technical difficulties, amen, but we are here now and we are ready to give God some praise, some glory, and definitely some honor. Amen. I'm excited tonight that you have taken time out of your schedule to join me. Just want to do some quick announcements and then, amen, get right back into the Word. For this morning's or this afternoon's, excuse me, whatever time zone you may be in, announcements are as follows. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m., every Saturday at 10:30 a.m., please join us for Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast with Apostle Christopher McQueen. That's every Tuesday at 7 and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m. On Thursday nights, you can join me at 7 p.m. for Prophetic Atmosphere, and you can hear us live at www.ctkr.org. As many of you may already know, that is our website as well. We invite you to visit us there and even pray about becoming a vision partner, prayer partner, and supporting this ministry with helping us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. I want to also let you know that Christ the King Redemptive Ministries does have a Facebook page. We invite you to our Facebook page. Like us there. Please leave your name, your prayer requests, and your praise reports. If you need someone to touch and agree with you, we are more than likely gathering up the intercessors and prayer warriors to pray with you concerning whatever matter that you may have before the Lord. And we are believing, amen, that God is going to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask for things according to his will. Amen. That's Christ the King Redemptive Ministries on our Facebook page, as well as WOPD, also known as Women of Prophetic Destiny. And speaking of Women of Prophetic Destiny, I want to personally send out an invite to each and every one of you to join me this year for my conference, Women of Prophetic Destiny 2013, October 18th and 19th. People of God, we are only 3 weeks away from this exciting conference. Amen. God's hand is definitely up on this conference. More now than ever, people are coming from all over the United States to be at this conference. You don't want to miss this. Amen. It is, Christ the King is hosting it, but it will be located, amen, at Greater St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. The address is 213 Stone Street in Cocoa, Florida. That's 213 Stone Street in Cocoa, Florida, Greater St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. Shout out to Reverend Bryant Sr., who is the head pastor of that church, for opening up his doors, amen, and allowing us, Christ the King, with the ministries to come, amen, and be able to host the conference and just have a wonderful time in the Lord. Listen, you won't want to miss Friday night. You don't want to miss Saturday night. You got two power-packed, filled days of getting all you can of Jesus, getting every word you can. Soak yourself up in prayer. Soak yourself up in worship. Amen. We are going for God and God alone. Amen. If you come expecting, I guarantee you will walk out with your answer, with your healing, whatever it is that you have been looking for God to do, He will meet us there. Amen. We have been fasting and praying and seeking the Lord and praying concerning this conference for quite some time. And I know, amen, I feel in my spirit that the winds of change are blowing and that God is not going to disappoint His people who call upon His name. Amen. That is, again, October 18th and 19th, 2013. This year's theme is Don't Abort Your Assignment. Amen. Don't abort your assignment. I want to see you there. Once again, it's being located at, the conference is located at Greater St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church, 213 Stone Street in the beautiful city of Cocoa, Florida. We want to see you there. Amen and amen. Those are the announcements. Amen, people of God. I want to go into prayer, and then we're getting right into this word. We're talking about tonight the character of a new man. Amen. That's it, the character of a new man. Come on, let us talk to the Lord. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, we thank you. Thank you. I praise you. I glorify you. I magnify you. And I worship your holy name. There's none like you, God. There is none like you. I come before your throne. I humble myself. I ask for forgiveness right now in the name of Jesus. Wash me from all of my sins. Wash me from all of my iniquity, my unrighteousness. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. Make me whole, God. Make every crooked way straight in the name of Jesus. Even now, God, we ask. As we come before you with our hands uplifted, our hearts ready to receive, our ears open, that you would speak concerning your will in this hour, in the name of Jesus. Father, we just bless your holy name. We invite the presence of not only your presence, but the presence of the Holy Spirit into this place. Move, breathe, do what you need to do. Father, I'm asking in Jesus' name now that you would begin to stir the minds of your people up, stir their hearts and their will up. Give them a mind to serve you, a mind to go after the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus. Father, I'm asking now that we will no longer be children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. God, I'm asking that you would set our feet on a solid path, a solid foundation, which is Christ, Jesus Christ, and Him crucified. Father, we thank you. God, I thank you right now. I thank you for what you're doing in the lives of your people. Give me the tongue of the learned. Allow me to minister as you see fit tonight. In the name of Jesus, we give your name all praise, all glory, and all honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Amen. Thank you once again for everyone who has joined us on tonight. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule. Listen, tonight's subject, I want to talk about myself and Apostle have been speaking about Christian character. This has been a series that the Holy Spirit has had us on, and I don't want to deviate from it, amen, until He says so. And the reason why, because, amen, we have, amen, a lot of men and women, amen. I'm not even talking about leadership. I'm just talking about Christians across the board. We have a lot of them who are confessing, amen, the name of Jesus. They're confessing His name, but when you look at their actions, when you look at their deeds, when you look at how they move and how they act in day-to-day life, you see that what is in the Bible, amen, is not measuring up to what we see in reality. I know what I'm talking about, and I know some of you do too. We have many that can quote scriptures front to back, up one side and down the other. But the minute, amen, that they walk outside of the four doors of the church house, we see a whole totally different scene. In other words, you don't know what masks people are wearing nowadays. And I'm not saying that we need to be so stiff and so deep and wonderful and try to be greater than somebody else. No, I'm not saying that. God has given us a life, and we need to enjoy the life in Christ Jesus that he has given us. But there is a responsibility, people of God, that we have to live and remain in godly character and godly maturity. Amen. I come from, grew up in the old school. My husband grew up in the old school. And there was, and I'm the first to admit, I'm a mixture. I'm the old and the new. But I do know that there was one thing about the old school, amen, is that the old people, or I should say the old school, that's the word I really am looking for tonight, the old school teachings and trainings, they had power. They knew God. They knew his voice. They knew his leading. They may not have knew it. They may not have known all the revelation, amen, that was in the scriptures, but they knew him. And now today we have where people have all the scriptures, have all the teaching, but they lack the power. And how many of you know we need to get balance back into the body of Christ? We need to get balance back into the body of Christ. Not only is it indeed, but it is power as well, that we need to manifest God's glory in the earth. Out of tonight's scripture, I'm coming out of the book of Colossians chapter 3, and I'm reading out of verses 12 through 15. I'm coming out of the New King James Version. I'm going to read, and we're going to do probably go through a couple of other passages as well as the Holy Ghost leads. Amen? Come on, let's read Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. And the Word of God reads as such. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults. And forgive anyone who offends you. I can hang my hat there for just a half a second. Remember, amen, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your heart. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. And the Lord and the word of the Lord is blessed. He says, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, and for many of you who have been following me for some time, you know that I always say this, that Christianity is not for the weak. To say that you are a child of the king is not something that we need to just take lightly. You have to realize that it is he that chose you. You didn't choose him. And when you understand that he chose you from the foundation, out of everyone that he could have picked and chose, he spoke your name and decided to save your soul. Yes, it was up to you to answer. But yet, even though it was up for you to answer, you still, or I should say God still had his hand up on you, and you knew that his hand rested upon you where you needed to turn from the life that you were living and doing your own thing to the life that he needed you to live, so that you can complete his assignment in the earth. And he says, listen, since he has chosen, since God has chosen you to be his people that he loves, then you must clothe yourselves with tender heart and mercy. Kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. I don't know about you people of God, but you see more now where the world needs mercy and kindness and humility and much more of out of it all, patience. We live in a society right now where we lack any type of patience. If someone, if we ask somebody to do something and it's one iota second longer than we are willing to wait, then we're already going over people's heads. We're already, I can just do it myself. I don't have to wait for you. I'll just go to the next person and get what I need. We don't want to wait for anything. We don't want to wait for anything. And it is such so, when we don't want to wait for something, we're willing to make hasty decisions, rash, irrational movements, amen? We'll move sporadically without fully thinking out the process. And then when situations blow up in our face, then we're crying out, oh, how did this happen to me? Oh, what did I do? I don't understand this. When all we had to do is just have a little bit of patience. And so it is with God the Father when he deals with us. When he found you, he already knew that you were a mess. He already knew that you were broken. He already knew that you were bruised. He already knew that you came in with issues and circumstances. But yet he still chose you. And while he was waiting for you to get yourself halfway together, and when I say halfway together, to the point where you can say, where you're finally saying, okay, God, I love you, I want to serve you, and I've actually made up my mind to start pursuing after the things that you have ordained for me to do. And when we come to that place, and that place, some of us, we've walked in it gently, and for others, we've had to be drugged through the rocks and the gravel in order for us to get the picture, amen, that our character needs to change and we need to become more like him and less of us. And he says that now that I have chosen you as my own and I love you, now it is your responsibility, amen, that you clothe, that you wear this garment, that this is a constant item that you wear. This isn't something we pick up and put down at choice. Clothe yourselves. This is a daily thing, people of God. Clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy. That word tender-hearted means easily moved to love, to pity, or sorrow. In other words, compassion. I don't know about you, but we live in a very lack of compassionate world. And it's even such so that it has crept over into the body of Christ. We have more Christians now that stab you in the back. It's not everybody. I'm not talking about everybody. But I'm saying when we have an outsider, amen, one that is not saved, that decides to come over into the church and say, you know what, I need to get my life together. I need to do something better than what I'm doing. I'm ready to make a change. And the minute, amen, that some of them walk through the door, we are already crucifying them to the cross. Not the cross of Christ, but our personal cross. We don't have any mercy. We don't have any compassion. We'll sit there and watch people suffer. We'll watch people go through and sit there and tell my child, I don't know. There's some crazy mess they're going through. They're going through, child. I don't know about that thing. If I was them, I would do A, B, C, and D. But nobody is reaching out to them with the love of God. No compassion, no tender heart and mercy, no kindness. no gentleness, and definitely not no humility. That word kindness, the Bible, in the book of Ephesians 4:32 says, listen, be kind to those who treat you wrong. We do many times the opposite of that because we want to let people know who we are and what we stand for and how we got there. And they're not going to just come up here and say whatever they want to say to me and do whatever they want and don't think I'm not going to say nothing about. No, no, no. It says here, be kind. Apostle always preaches this. He said, hurt people hurt people. And when you realize and look past the actions and start seeing the cause or the root of the matter, then you can start approaching people with a different mindset. Then you can start approaching people as Jesus would approach them, not in accusation, not in judgment, but in love. My husband would always, as a retired police officer, would always say, is that the fight is never about the chicken or the piece of chicken. It's always about what's not being spoken. And we as the body of Christ, we as people of God, we as children of the High King, must get some discernment, spiritual discernment. And as you begin to grow in your discernment, as you get your discernment, then God will begin to peel back the layers and show you how to strategically deal with people. And as people begin to lash out, you don't take it personally because you realize they're lashing out of the hurt. And he will give you strategies, amen, into how to approach and how to deal with people without them even recognizing that you're approaching them and be able to deal with the hurt and the pain while bringing healing and solve at the same time. But what so often happens is that the person lashes out in hurt because we have areas in our lives that have not been healed or surrendered, then we lash back, which creates a bigger explosion, and the enemy is sitting back laughing at both of us because God is not getting any glory. A soul is not being brought back into the kingdom. The person is not able to walk in their fulfilled their calling or their ministry or whatever God has assigned for them to do. And they leave out the same way they came in, more hurt, more damaged, till the point where they're like, I don't want to have to deal with church, period. It's a lot of people that my husband and myself come across who tell us verbatim, I love God with everything I have. I don't like church folk. Therefore, I don't go to church. When the Bible strictly says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. We've had their strength in numbers. But what the enemy says is, no, you need to sit over here, be by yourself, get your Bible. The Lord can talk to you through your, you know, through reading the word. And that's all you need. But you're missing a key component called unity. We need each other, whether you believe it or not. No man. God did not create man to be an island unto himself. That's why he brought Eve in the picture, because he did not want the man to be lonely. So how is it that you think that you can make it on your own without the help of nobody else? Don't nobody have to tell me nothing. I got the Holy Spirit for myself. I got the word of God. I can just sit back here and get to the kingdom of heaven on my own. No, ma'am. No, sir. You got to find your, you got to get somewhere, amen, where the word of God is being taught and preached unadulterated. You have to get somewhere where you can begin to form relationships. You got to get somewhere where somebody, male or female, the pastor and the leadership can challenge you, challenge your attitude, challenge your thought patterns, challenge your lifestyle. begin to align you up, make every crooked way, pathway straight in your life so that you can fulfill his will in the earth. You must. Back here in the scripture. Didn't say you had a choice on it. Didn't say you had an option. I choose B. He says here, you must clothe yourself with tenderhearted mercy. Clothe yourself in kindness. 2 Timothy 2 and 24, choose to be kind rather than to argue. And here it is. Here's the cusp of it. Being kind takes effort. Oh, yes, it does. Yes, it does. Because some people don't want kindness. They don't know how to take, or either they don't know how to give it, let alone they don't know how to receive it. So it takes effort on your part. It takes effort on my part. Second Peter 1, 5 through 7. Now, nobody is saying you're supposed to be weak. Nobody is saying that you're supposed to be somebody's doormat and being treated with the utmost disrespect and all the clowning and the wilding out and all this other crazy mess that they're doing. Didn't nobody say all of that. But yet, you don't have to turn out and be wild, crazy, along with them because that person is. If you clothe yourself with the mercy, tender-hearted mercy, have compassion on some folks. And here's the challenge. Have compassion even when their actions don't mirror it. Because here's the reality. You've had some ugly, unproud moments in your life as well. And yet the Lord didn't cut you off. Yet the Lord still showed mercy and kindness to you. Let the God of our souls show favor to you. And you know you was foul. You know you was sinning. You know you was ugly. You know you were ratchet. But yet he put his hand upon you, still spoke kind words to you, still let somebody come to you and rub it. It's going to be all right. Even when you didn't want it, even when you didn't want to hear God's name, even when you didn't want to hear that next prophecy, even when you didn't want anybody to come to you, I don't want to hear another word. I don't want to hear nothing about what Jesus got to say. I don't want to hear about him. Even when we said all that craziness because of a situation that may have happened in our lives, he still showed love. He still showed kind. He still showed mercy. How dare we? How dare we? How dare we not offer the same to those who are unsaved as well as those who are saved? Kindness. Let's finish this up. Since God chose you to be his or be the holy people he loved, you must. He's addressing individually as well as corporately. You must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy. Kindness. Humility. And let me hang my hat there for just a second. I don't know about you people of God, but it's been very, I've seen a long change that has gone on in the body where people really lack humility Well, there's still some that are out there, trust me. There's some that say, you know what, I know it's all God. They say it. There's some that are actually humble and grateful for all that God has done and is continuously doing. I'm not talking about that sect, but I'm talking about those who say I'm humble, but yet everything about them does not, and I mean does not, resemble humbleness. The Bible says here in Deuteronomy 8 and 16, God hears the prayers of the humble. If you're constantly dealing with folks that everything they do and say has got to do with what they got, how much they got, always trying to impress, going out of their way, I'm making this, it's all about the show, roll anybody up under the bus, as I like to say, to save their own skin, put you out there, set you up to put you out there, and then want to rise to the occasion. It's not about humility. Humility is not about being seen and liked, because the bottom line is, it's all about getting the accolade. People want the accolades. They want their name being shouted. They want the roses being thrown at their feet. They want folks calling out their name. And it gets to the point where it's no longer about him. It's no longer about Jesus, but it's about the person that's in front of you. It becomes a performance, not a ministry. And we have more performers now than we have ministers. Lack of humility. When were the days when people would just come to your church and just minister because they were on assignment? Well, prophetess, hold on. You know, these people nowadays, you go there and you just get a chicken wing sometimes. You get there and they're talking about they have all these accommodations for you, and they find out that they're jipping you on your money, jipping you on your lodging, this, that. So, listen. I'm not saying that it's right. I'm not condoning that those actions at all. But I am saying this, that sometimes it's about the assignment and it's not about what you can get out of it. But we miss so many opportunities because we want to look right. We got to be in the best this. We got to have that. Sometimes all you're going to get is a chicken dinner. But were you effective in the kingdom? Sometimes all you may get is a handshake and maybe $50. But were you effective? Did you do what God called you to do when you went? I'm a witness. My husband's a witness. Many times over throughout our ministry, we have gone places with the promissory of, we're going to do this. If you do that, we got you here, Doc. We got you here. We're going to make this happen. And then when you got there, it had nothing to do with anything that they said. However, when you're on assignment and your heart is towards God, first off, he'll let you know what you're walking yourselves into, what you're walking yourself into. He'll tell you. Everywhere we went, where we knew it was not going to turn out the way we thought it was, he would always let us know, this is an assignment. I need you to go in spite of. So you know what? Because we are no longer our own and we're his, we made our way to where they asked us to go. My husband even went further places. They weren't kind, gypped him on his money, different situations and circumstances. I'm sure some of y'all out there understand what I'm talking about. However, it was about the assignment. If all it is was one that you ministered to out of all, then you have completed your work. I'm going to say this and then I'm going to move on. I'm going to tell you this story. Or as one of my coworkers said, I'm going to give you the thumbnail version of it. My husband traveled for 9 months for a ministry. 9 months he traveled with the ministry. Dealt with a lot of shenanigans. They still even use that word. A lot of tricks. A lot of smoke and mirrors. But all the time while he was there, he remained humble. Now, I'm still in the book. He remained gentle. He remained patient. He remained tenderhearted. All the while, all the craziness going on around him, he developed relationships. Because here's the thing, people of God, every situation you go into, the situation might be crazy, but the people in the situation are just caught up in the situation, and God puts you there so that you can release them from the crazy bondage that's going on. All the while he sat there and ministered for those 9 months, and there was just this one woman that he continued to minister to. Thumbnail version, by the time he left and his assignment was up, that woman of God got out of that situation and is now doing better than ever. And we were able to go back or able to cross each other's path. And that's the thing I like about God, because you don't always know everything or every reason why you do what you do. You just say, yes, Lord, and obey the assignment. But we were able to come across, cross each other's path. And she said, thank you, man of God. Thank you. I didn't realize, but he opened my eyes. And when they were open, I got out with my life and took my family with me. And now she's doing wonderful. Children doing wonderful. She's doing wonderful. In a silent ministry now, going forth in the things that God has called her to do. But what if my husband was caught up on, you know what, you got to do this for me and that for me, and if that ain't happening, I ain't doing this tonight. He would have missed the assignment. And that's what I'm trying to tell you tonight. Don't get caught up and miss the assignment because you lack mercy, because you lack kindness, because you lack humility. And most of all, patience. We're not patient with anything. We don't want to be. Even when we deal with God, it's not about patience. Christian character takes the fruit of the Spirit. We talk love, joy, peace, you know, the gift, the fruits of the Spirit, excuse me. Even walking in the gifts that God has placed upon each of us individually, those things, as you use them, they become more mature. As God matures you, as you're walking out with him, the more that you use the gifts, and I'm talking about the spiritual gifts now, the more that you use the spiritual gifts that the Holy Ghost gives, that Christ gives, then as you walk out, you become more familiar on how when the anointing comes upon you and how to move within the anointing and how he move, how he speaks to you and how he moves through you so that whatever the purpose that God has will be, will happen or will take place. But that comes as you begin to walk with him and he teaches you and trains you. But we don't want to be patient. We want to be at point Z, and we've only been saved 2 years. And we're trying to raise up and be someone who's been saved for 10 or 25 or 30 years and what they've gone through to get there at Z, and we've only been saved 2 years, and we're trying to bypass every lesson along the way, and we just want to get to Z. Verse 13, listen, he said here, make allowance. Ooh. He said make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Make allowance. Make room, in other words. Make room for somebody, for each other's fault. In other words, nobody's perfect. Apostle, not perfect. Prophetess McQueen is not perfect. We're not hitting it on all cylinders. But doggone it, every day we're striving so that he will be pleased with us. You're not perfect. Quit lying to yourself and everybody else. Nobody is perfect. We're striving. And he's saying, listen, you're not perfect, and the same allowance you get for yourself when you mess up, he said, I need you to make the same allowance for each other, your brother and sister's fault. And forgive. Anyone who offends you. My God. Make allowance. Something about that word allowance. In other words, definition for it, real briefly, it says, listen, give people permission. Take into account the circumstances. Take into account the contingency. And forgive anyone who offends you. That means you cannot allow yourself to walk around with a spirit of offense. You can't allow yourself to walk around with a sensitive spirit. Something just got to roll up off of you. Because if the enemy can keep you right here in the baby stage, see, baby Christians get easily offended. Baby Christians get easily hurt and wounded and want to nurse the wounds until some and have their little pity party. Being a little transparent, when I first got saved, amen, my husband was saved before I was saved a number of years, was actually preaching before I got saved. So the Lord, when he allowed us to come together, the Lord had to put me on the fast track and get me caught up to where he was. So that we can, because of the calling that was on both of our lives and the purpose that he had for us. So when I first got saved, I would get offended and mad at every little issue and circumstance. And I would sit there and pout. Or as he would call it, have a pity party. And he would say, I'm not coming to your pity party. Now let me tell you how the devil do you. I would get hot like fire. Because he wouldn't allow me to pout. What kind of mess is that? That lets you know how crazy it is. He wouldn't allow me to pout. He wouldn't let me sit there and sue. He wouldn't give me an excuse for it. Now, there was an allowance for my fault. That was a fault that I had. Because of, you realize, you know what, you're a baby Christian. I understand you. You're learning. You're trying to mature, so he made room for me to grow. But at some point in my life, in my walk with Christ, I had to realize that I was doing nothing but hurting myself because I just kept allowing the enemy to pour that vile poison in my spirit, and I'm sitting up here just letting things fester on the inside of me. Then when it came time to minister, I really could not be an effective minister for him because every time I opened up my mouth, all that hurt, that pain, that bile, that poison was spewed out on the people. And the Lord had to show me every time you open up your mouth. That's why it says forgive. Forgiveness is not for them. Forgiveness is for you so you can keep your spirit clear, so you can keep focused on him, so you can hear from him, so you can stay fresh and in right standing with the Father. Forgiveness frees you. But if you still hold on to what they did to you 10 years ago, then you're failing yourself. You really are. And you're failing those who you need to be ministering to. And forgive others. Forgive them. So what? They did it. In the end, it really does become a so what? Did they not talk about Jesus? Now, it's one thing when it's a so, it's one thing when it's your fault. And it's another thing when it's not. But nevertheless, even if it's your fault and you hurt somebody else, ask them for forgiveness. And then forgive yourself. And those who did you wrong, even if they never come up to you and say, I'm sorry, ever, you forgive. And you ask the Lord to take out that spirit of offense. Because as long as you have the spirit of offense there, resting and ruling, it'll always try to give you an excuse as to the reason why you can remain acting and responding the way you do. And you will never grow up in the spirit. You'll never mature in the spirit. Verse 13, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone. Then say some people. That means anyone and everyone, whether you feel they deserve it or not. Above all, verse 14, clothe, there's that word clothe again, clothe yourself. Or cover. I like that word. I really like this one. To endow, especially with power. Endow yourself with love. Above all, he said, in spite of everything I read from verses 12 and 13, he said, listen, above all of that, clothe yourself. Endow yourself with the power, with love. Because love binds us all together in perfect harmony, or that unity. And let the peace. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your heart. See, when you allow mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, when you allow that, when you constantly seek after that, when you push towards that, again, you're not going to get it right every day, but you're still seeking, you're still striving, you're still moving in that direction. He said, and as you're doing that, you're also forgiving along the way. You're making allowance for other people's faults. You're working with them. You're realizing. You're looking at the situations and the circumstances. You're praying for them, holding them up before God, moving forward, showing kindness, showing love, remembering that the Lord forgave you and that you must forgive others. He said, and after you've done all of that, remember, it's got to be love in there. Let me say something, people of God. People don't care how eloquent you speak or preach. They don't care what house you live in. They don't care what car you drive. They don't care how big or how small the church is. They don't care about your circle of influence. They don't even care about your prophetic giftings. What they do remember is your love walk. People remember how you responded to them or responded to others in their sighting. They remember how you showed love or lack of. Anytime you talk to people and they are no longer going to so-and-so's church, they don't tell you nothing about how exciting the word was. They don't tell you nothing about how off the chain, how they got all these different speakers from all over the world. They don't tell you anything about the music. They always tell you about how they were treated or how they saw someone else treated. People remember your deeds. They remember your character. They remember your love walk. My husband says it, and it's the truth, and even if I don't like to admit it, it's the truth. People will stay in a dead-end, dry church with no anointing, no power, no nothing, for the simple fact because of the strength of love and relationship. They'll bypass the biggest church. God will be telling them, you need to go over here because I need you to get something, but because of their tie because of the love, because of their relationship with the people, they'll sit there. Will tell you right to your face, yeah, I know this. I know ain't no anointing up in this place. I know. We need more of Jesus. Yes, we do. We need him. But you know what? So-and-so was with me when I lost my job for you, and I had no food on my table. They came by the house and gave me food. They came by the house and they gave me some money. They helped me out with my children. When the police came, they always were right there beside me when I thought I was pulling my hair. They remember things like that. They remember when they cried on your lap at the midnight hour because they were in such pain. They remember all of that. It's about us showing love and kindness, people of God. The Lord forgave you. You must forgive others. Clothe yourself with love, which binds us together in perfect harmony. Verse 15 says, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your heart. For as members of one body, you and I, it says you here in the book, but you and I are called to live in peace and always, always be thankful. One thing the Father loves is to hear his children thank him. And if you come and make your way to my conference on October 18th and 19th of 2013, you're definitely going to be in a place where we're going to do a lot of thanking Jesus, a lot of hallelujah, a lot of Lord, I love you. I bless your holy name. You are the Holy One to be worshipped. And he loves that. And when we do that, his presence always manifests. When it's truly about him, he always shows up and never disappoints. Because the Bible says that he inhabits. We all know the scripture. He lives. He dwells in the praises of his people. Anybody can do the praise, but it's about a relationship when it comes to the worship. And the truth of the matter is, people of God, that I heard the voice of the Lord speak more to me in worship than I did in praise. Where he began to make things clear and brought understanding and brought revelation and opened up doors and allowed me to see some things and spoke kind words to me and spoke in the prophetic was all up in the worship. And always be thankful. No, everything ain't perfect in nobody's life. But you know what? I'm thankful. I'm thankful that the Lord saved me. Because I know if he didn't, when I look back and I know if God really didn't save me, I would not be here. I know that's what everybody says, but if you had a chance to look in my history and my lineage, I'd be in somebody's crazy house by now because the enemy had that assignment up on my life that at a certain age, women would just lose their mind in this side of the family for no particular reason. Just go schizophrenic, okay? So I know what God has saved me from. In the beginning, I didn't understand it, but as I walk with him daily, I'm more grateful now than I was even then. Yes, I was glad to be set free, but now I'm more thankful unto him. And I definitely bless his holy name. I'm thankful. No, I'm not driving the Mercedes. But you know what? I'm not walking either. I'm not bumming rides off people. And that's nothing to be ashamed of. I'm not saying if that's where God has you, then praise him because you know what? You got a friend to bum a ride off of. Okay? Not judging nobody. But I'm saying for wherever you are, whatever state you find yourself to be in, be thankful in that. verse 16, and we're wrapping it up. Let the message, whatever you preach, however you teach, whatever you demonstrate, let the message about let the message be about Christ in all its richness. Fill your life. Teach and counsel each other with all of the wisdom that Christ gives. It's not about your feelings. It's not about, well, this is what I'd do if I was you. It's not about that. It is about what the Word of God says. The multitude of counsel, there is wisdom. It is about what God says. Too often we've led many people astray because we gave our personal opinion on the matter instead of seeking the face of God in the matter. Because we want to know what our best friend said. We want to know what Mama said and Big Daddy and TT. We put more stock in the wisdom of men than the wisdom of God. And we shipwreck. Now, if you have a person who is of godly character, then the Lord puts them in your life for you to receive and glean godly wisdom. But you got to change your appetite to want the godly wisdom. So let the message, your actions, your teaching, your preaching, your Bible study, the reading of everything you do, let it be about Christ and all his richness, and fill your lives with more of him. Come on, let's pray. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you. I praise you. I worship you. I just magnify your name. I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for this word. Help us tonight to understand the character of being a new man in you. Help us, those who are saved, those who are not saved, that they will begin to understand and begin to open up their eyes and wisdom, that they will adopt your character and allow them to grow and mature in you. For those of us who have been walking with you for a long time, God, help us to brush ourselves off and get back to this word and get back into alignment with this word in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you and we praise you. Let this word not leave our spirits, our minds. Let it stay right upon our hearts, write it on our hearts. God, seal it and sear it in there that we may not depart from it in the name of Jesus. Now, those who are not saved, God, I pray that they pray and say this prayer with me. Father, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart and in my life. Make your abode there. Change me. Wash me in your blood. I want to live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. If you prayed that prayer, man of God, woman of God, welcome into the kingdom. We here at Christ the King Redemptive Ministry wishes that you will be led to a Bible-believing teaching and preaching church that's going to help you mature in the things of the kingdom. Listen, I am Prophetess McQueen. Once again, I want you to join me October 18th and 19th, 2013, for my Women of Prophetic Destiny Conference being held at Greater St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church, 213 Stone Street, amen, in the beautiful city of Cocoa, Florida. That's all I have for you tonight. I'm thanking you all for joining me. I will see you again next week, amen, at this time, 7 p.m., for Prophetic Atmosphere. Be blessed, be blessed, be blessed. Amen. Have a wonderful night.